I was thinking, as we were singing that, I was thinking about our Sunday school lesson this morning in the Sunshine class. That's the elder people over there in the back room. Anyway, we've just started our study in the book of Judges. And the book of Judges ends with these words. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes because they had no king. And the same is true today, isn't it? You know, when we have no king. When the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings isn't sitting on the throne of our hearts, that's usually what happens. We just go ahead and do what's right in our own eyes. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but that's taken us, if we continue that way, that will take us down to destruction, an eternal separation from Almighty God. Kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? Real sobering thought. Anyway, I was thinking as we were singing the Fanny Crosby song here, Blessed Assurance. How many likes Blessed Assurance? Yeah. When I and Russ and everybody here on this row, probably a few more, we were all going out to East Lynn years ago. That church was a little more traditional in its music than we are here, and it was a little less contemporary than we are here, but at the same time, they were a nice mix of traditional and temporary. And when we got here, it was a little more contemporary and a little less traditional. And when the Mortons were here, Lori, you'll all remember Lori, Pastor Jeremy's wife, I was telling her one time, and we were discussing contemporary worship. And I was telling her that I was into contemporary worship, but my idea of contemporary worship was Fanny Crosby. And the nice thing about Fanny, you know, I mean, she's a here and now type of girl. I mean, the traditional people can sing it, and so can the contemporaries. She's good people, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, she's good people. Anyway, I was thinking, as I was trying to figure out some things to talk about today, and it came to mind about 5 years ago today, actually. Actually, 5 years ago today, I was in a nursing home over in Paxton, recovering from bypass heart surgery, and I had the surgery in May, and I'll never forget my first day. I don't know how long it was after surgery, but I remember it was long enough because I was there and the ventilator was out of my throat. I think they had realized now that I could survive the surgery without the ventilator. So I was there without that. I'd progressed that far. And I looked up, and standing at the foot of the bed was my heart surgery guy, Dr. Cola. And he was looking at me with those beady little eyes of his. And he said, "Sam, how you doing?" I said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I said, I really wasn't sure what to expect. But I think I'm doing better than what I thought I would." And he just kind of stopped for a minute, and he thought, and he thought, and he thought for what seemed to be the longest time. And then he looked up and he said, "Well, we'll see." And he turned around and walked out. And sure enough, the high-priced pain medication that I was on, a few hours later began to wear off, and I got a little sore than I was, quite a bit sore. And later on down the road, there was a couple of hiccups that came up on the radar, some complications in the whole deal. And I'm happy to report to you this morning that the Carl people are prepared for contingencies. It was like they almost saw it coming, you know. And they took care of old man Terrell. And here I am today doing fairly good. So anyway, the reason I'm sharing that, it's kind of like where we're at today. We've had a little bit of heart surgery here. The big man got on his horse and rode, and that's a little traumatic. And I want to tell you this morning that we on the board have been hard at work trying to prepare for contingencies that might come up in the interim so that we can keep the line moving, so to speak. Anybody think that might be a good idea? Yeah, okay. I want to share with you a little bit of what we're doing. As far as the pastor search, we have begun by putting the search engines in place. We have the bird dogs sniffing the ground. We have the state office, State Church of God office in Indiana. They know what we're looking for. We have the state office, state of Illinois. They know what we're looking for. And we have something called Church of God Connector. And Cinnamon, I don't know where she got to, but I'm happy to, I don't think any of the rest of us understand it, but Cinnamon does. And it's something that, it's a way of searching that search engine and perhaps finding people that might be of interest to us. So those are the basically the three things that we got going there for us. In addition, we have our own website, and we've had one application already on that website. And applications like that, even though we're not required to do it, we consider it a matter of prudence to forward those applications to the state office in Decatur for their oversight. We just think that that's good business. And so that's what we're going to do with those. The Board of Elders, you know, our job as elders is to provide oversight for the ministries. We hire a senior pastor to direct ministry, and it's our job to oversee that. That's what we do. And as I said a couple weeks ago, you know, when a church board begins to oversee and direct at the same time, and if that continues over an extended period of time, what that really turns into is meddling, and we're not interested in meddling. We're interested in vibrant ministry here. But in the meantime, out of necessity right now, the church board, the board of elders, you know, we're not only overseeing the ministries of the church, but we're directing the ministries of the church in the absence of a senior pastor. That's not the perfect solution. If for some reason the way we're going right now doesn't work, we always have the option of getting an interim pastor in here to help us. But I really firmly believe that that we have the resources here to continue the way we are. So at the present time, the board is not only overseeing but directing the ministries here of the church. And I want to just take a minute to review with you the ministries that are compensated. We have other ministries, but these are the compensated ones. Sunday worship is under the direction of Dan First. Our youth ministry is under the direction of Noah Featherstone. And I'm happy to report to you this morning that as of board action last week, we have a director of Harbor Ministries, Vince Gossett. Give him a hand. We've got some ideas in the way of well, we've got some expectations, I guess, and some other things that aren't altogether clear yet, but we're going to get those to him here. It's a compensated position, and I'm telling you that, and I know my brother well enough to know that even if we weren't paying him a dime, you know, he'd be hard at it because his heart's in it, and that's a good thing when somebody's heart's in something. Somebody said once, you know, You get your heart and your work, and you'll never work a day in your life, something like that. And I can tell you, he doesn't consider this work. I can tell you that. In addition, Cinnamon is the she takes care of the church office, that's a part-time job, I guess. I guess she's, but anyway, she takes care of the church office, and yes, give her a hand. She does quite a good job at it. There's another one that she doesn't consider. She loves what she's doing. She hasn't worked a day. She hasn't worked a day since she took that job because she loves what she's doing. It's not work. It's ministry, and that's how she sees it. I'm glad we have her. And in addition to that, we have one full-time person on staff right now, and that's Hunter Tibbs. And yes, let's give him a hand. And Hunter, of course, is the associate pastor. And at this time, Hunter is going to be assisting the board in directing ministry. We're going to be alongside of him here, and that's going to be part of his job, is to assist in the directing of ministry. And we're looking forward to, we just saw this morning, I'll get into it a little bit later, but he's got some ideas with regard to ministry, and it's good stuff, and I hope we'll receive what he has to say. And then, of course, in addition to that, Trish Stebbins heads up the cleanup detail here in the church, and she's been doing that without a whole lot of fanfare for a long time. Yes, she's very good at what she does, and right now she's almost on one leg here, and she's still doing it. So she's another one, her heart's in what she does, and we're glad. Talk a little bit about the ministry of the Word in Pastor Micah's absence. That's going to be a shared thing. Brother Dan, Brother Hunter, and I'm happy to report to you that last week in the elders' meeting, Noah cornered me after the meeting, and he said, "Hey," he said, "if you ever need somebody to fill in an emergency or whatever," he said, "I've got a couple of sermons ready." I says, "You do?" And I said, "Well, my goodness. We'll just add you to the list." And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to maybe some of the things that would be on his heart as well. And I was really blessed to hear him say that. And, I'm just blessed. And, of course, we're going to have some guest speakers. One of the ones that I'm particularly hopeful we can get real soon will be Brother Eric Livingston from the state office. He's the guy that gave us Micah Mobley to think about. And he has a real sense of what has to go on, what does go on in the interim. And I would be happy to get him here. I hope he's got some time on his calendar, and we can get him here. So, and then I've always been blessed when Micah was here. Anytime I ever got an itch to preach, Micah always let me scratch it. And I know that if I get an itch from time to time, well, they're going to let me get up here and preach. So I look forward to that. I don't get near as many itches as I used to. So, anyway, that's that part. Now, I want to talk a little bit about shepherding, or sometimes we tend to call that counseling or mentoring. I don't like those terms in the church. I mean, counseling's all right on somebody's psychiatrist couch. Mentoring, I suppose, would be all right, you know, at the school, you know, for school kids. But in the kingdom of God, in the church, I believe the term is shepherding. And I'll make no bones about it. The goal, as far as I'm concerned, in shepherding is to guide people to hear the Father's voice. The Bible says that when the dead hear his voice, they live. And I can tell you right now, as far as I can see, that will cure a multitude of problems. And we all, as God's people, need to learn how to hear his voice. There's healing in the voice. That voice. Not the voice at McDonald's. That voice. So that job is going to fall in the lap of the pastors and the elders here in the church, no one in particular. We're going to be looking at people's strengths when things come up and, you know, maybe lean on them for some shepherding help. And also, if we ever get to the place where it's completely over our head, why, we'll be looking for some outside help. The Church of God has resources there to help us. So we'll be looking there. Pastoral visits, nursing homes, hospitals, so on and so forth. I don't think I mentioned this at first service, but those kinds of visits, for the most part right now, will be on the shoulders of Hunter and myself. Funerals and weddings, for the most part, I think if there's any funerals that need to be taken care of, I'll do that. And even weddings, if need be, I can tell you, in the state of Illinois, you don't have to be credentialed to hold a wedding. I married my granddaughter here a few years ago. But anyway, it worked out okay, and I'd take a whack at it again if the need be. So for that, you know, for the most part, funerals and weddings, and of course, if anybody needs somebody from the outside, you know, that's fine as well. So, but in the absence of that, I can do that. Now, I got to tell you, my wife thinks I spend too much time at my desk. I got my desk in my front room, and I spend a lot of time there, lots of time. I read the Word. My grandson, he thinks I'm crazy and I talk to myself. But I told him last night, I says, don't worry, Grandpa's not going crazy. I says, I'm either doing one or two things, grandson. I'm either praying or I'm rehearsing my sermon. Okay, Grandpa. So anyway, I was sitting there the other day and I had a flash of light. I don't know whether probably not God. I think it was probably an imagination of my heart, not anything in the spirit. I had this flash of light, and I went running into the kitchen. I said, Joan, I said, I got to tell you. I said, I just had an inspiration for what we need to call life this summer without a senior pastor. I've got it figured out. I think this is what we ought to do. She said, what's that? I said, well, I said, I think we need to say the First Church of God, Hoopston, Illinois, the Church on the Lamb. She says, I don't understand. She says, you mean Lamb, L-A-M-B? No, not that. I says, Church on the Lamb, L-A-M. Well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, life after Micah. She said, Sam, you're spending too much time at your desk. Well, the thing of it is, of course, Hunter is way ahead of me here. And he's already talked a little bit about it. And listen, this kid is excited about this. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and this kid is pumped. And he's got some ideas here of, you know, some things that we ought to do this summer to help us along the way. And he's got his slogan here. We saw it on the screen. It's in the hallways. As a family, we go. The art of celebration. And we need to buy into that, folks. He's got things planned that's going to help us, draw us together as the family of God. And you get a chance, why, stop him and see if you can get him to open up his mind a little bit. I think he would love to. But these are good things. And as I said before, you know, we have a lot of resources here to help us get through this. And we're going to take advantage of them. Praise and thanks be to Almighty God. I want to, if you like to turn in the Bible, or if you like to follow along on the screen or on your device or whatever, I'm going to be speaking out of the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 is my text. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called. So, you know, we got to understand here what's taking place. The great apostle Paul, and, you know, he probably wouldn't be called great, but we'll call him great because he was the great apostle. He was addressing the church at Ephesus about what it was going to take to be a church. And the thing that I want to tell you is Paul had earned the right to tell him what it took. Let me say that again. Paul had earned the right to tell him what it took to be the right church. And you got to remember Paul. Paul had it together here, but he didn't always have it together. There was a day he thought he had it together, but he really didn't have it together. He had his theology. He had his doctrine. He had his disciplines. He had his, what he thought was God-given zeal, which was nothing more than the arm of flesh. And he gloried in his religious heritage. And he labored under the misconception that those who named the name of Christ had to go. And at the time that he met Jesus, he was on his way to Damascus to see to it that they went. And it was there he met the man. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord was all around him, and it was so bright that even those around him saw it. But it was so intense on his behalf that he was stricken to the ground. He was brought down to the dust. And for the first time in his life, he realized he didn't know the God he thought he knew. I'm going to ask Brother Fowler, tell me what his first words were after the light shone.
Who are you, Lord?
Who are you, Lord? The day that you and I say this, this is progress. And from that time on, Paul became a prisoner of the Lord. And he spoke that day at Ephesus as a prisoner of the Lord. He had earned the right by revelation glory to address the church. Let's talk about prisoners for a minute. There are all kinds of prisoners. It has to do with lust. You know, there are people that are prisoners, for example, of pornography. I'll tell you, I've seen pornography. I've taken a look at it. And I can tell you, you watch that garbage long enough, you'll become a prisoner. You'll be bound. And it will affect your sex life in such a way, I believe, that you wouldn't expect. Because instead of it getting better, it'll probably get worse because you're bound. Same way with dope. Same way with tobacco. Right and left-handed cigarettes. It will bind us. It will bring us to the place where prisoners. And that kind of prisoner is not, you're not a prisoner by choice. You're a prisoner. You're a prisoner by the choice of your decisions, but you're in prison to these things that bind you. Someone has said you can compromise with the devil if you want to. He will never compromise with you. And that's true. Paul, on the other hand, was another kind of prisoner. He was a prisoner to the Lord Jesus by the exercise of his will. Many times in Scripture, when Paul talks of himself as a servant, or he talks of himself as a slave, he refers to himself as a bond slave. Does anybody know what that is? A bond slave? If you're a bond slave, you're a slave by your choice. When he was struck down by the glory of God on the Damascus Road that day, and he lived to tell about it. That's the glory of redemption, you know. You can get struck down these days by the glory of God and live to tell about it. Well, anyway, when he got up and we went into Damascus on Straight Street, and nobody, Brother Ananias, walked into his house and laid hands on him, and he got healed from that day on. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ by the pure exercise of his will. He had earned the right to address the people at Ephesus and tell them what it was going to take for them to start behaving like a church. This is just one verse. If you want to know how the church should behave when you get home today, read the book of Ephesus. It'll tell you how the church is supposed to behave. If you want to see it under the old covenant, read the book of Joshua. It will tell us how the church is to function under the new covenant. Anyway, it was on that basis that he beseeched them. He had earned he had not only earned the right to talk to them, he had earned the right to beseech them. I guess beseech would be to suggest very powerfully. Beseech. This is what he said. He said, I beseech you then, you walk worthy of your calling. You know, how many of you understand today that there is a call on your life? Anybody understand that? Every single one of us, there is a call on your life. And I'm going to tell you when it began. It began when you were in your mother's womb. The Bible tells us that the prophet Jeremiah was separated by the Spirit for God's call upon his life while he was still in his mother's womb. I don't believe that Jeremiah was the exception. I think that was the rule. There is a call upon your life. And when you get saved and sanctified under the new covenant, when you get born again and set apart by the Holy Ghost after conversion, you know, the calling has been reaffirmed. It's reaffirmed. And you may not even know it until then. But anyway, this calling, Paul says, he says, now, he says, what I've done, he said, I've made myself a prisoner of the Lord. He says, that's how I've responded to God's call upon my life. Now he says this, he says, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? That's what I did. And he says, furthermore, he says, if you do what I say, this is what it's going to look like. Verse 2, verse 3, this is what it's going to look like. Let's read it together. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Does anybody think that if a church looked like that, it would be a good thing? Let me see your hands. Is there anybody here that would like to see the church behave that way? Yeah. Well, listen, I don't mean to be picky, but we really need to figure out what it's really saying in verse 1. You know, Paul was a prisoner of the Lord, and basically he said, what are you going to do about it? And it's going to depend on what we do about it. Now, one more thing, and I'm going to close here. We're going to be looking for a new pastor, and we're going to get hot on it. As a matter of fact, I left some stuff out, but that's okay. We can run with it. The elder board's going to get together, and we're going to get our ducks in a row, and we're going to get this search going. But anyway, one of the things that I want to tell you is what we're talking about here today, I believe, is a profile of the man of God that we're looking for. Paul got struck to the ground by the glory of God, and he lived to tell about it. Let me tell you what happened to him that day. He got the hell scared out of him. And then he got heaven scared in him. And because of that, he had the right to beseech. Well, I'll tell you what we're looking for. You need to pray about this. What we need is a man of God, called of God, who has beheld the glory of God in such a way that he's had the hell scared out of him. And he's had the heaven scared in him. That way, he can preach in such a way to scare the hell out of us and scare the heaven into us. And then we can move on and walk in a manner worthy of our calling. You want to pray for something, pray for a man like that. That's what we want. We want a guy like that. I believe he's out there. I believe God will get him here. So, but we never get until we ask. The Lord says, you have not because you ask not. We know what we want. Now we just have to ask him. So remember that in your prayers. I'm going to close with, come on up. Where's Dan? Oh, you're already here. Well, you are redeeming the time today, aren't you? We're going to close. This is Paul's benediction to the Hebrews. I love Paul's benediction to the Hebrews. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Let's pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us complete in every good work to do his will. Working in us what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.